2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Talk a little NBA. Keith Smith, kind enough to join us, one of your better NBA writers out there. Keith, how are you?
Hey, Keith.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, always fun to catch up. Always fun to chat this NBA playoffs. And I want to start with what we've seen in the Eastern Conference and kind of break down a little bit from your perspective some of the games that you've seen so far. But I'm looking at this series, and I thought, well, geez, you know, the Philadelphia series, that's going to be over. The Heat are going to roll. They're up 2-0, and then cut it back. It's 2-2, and then I'm thinking, okay, maybe the 76ers have a chance, and then they get blown out last night. Do you have a vibe on where this thing's going to go over the next two games?
Yeah, it's tough. They've tried very hard in the playoffs not to overreact to the immediate thing we just saw, but in this case, Philly looked so bad. They just could not find anything offensively. So, yeah, I think, Miami's not, I don't think they're going to be intimidated going on the road to Philadelphia. I think there's a good chance that they get that closed out. I'm just a little worried. Kyle Lowry, they just announced he's going to be out again. So Philly's been a better team at home. Maybe they can force a game seven, but I do think no matter what, Miami's going to win this series.
I keep seeing Donovan Mitchell's name mentioned along with Miami as far as this situation being monitored closely with the Utah Jazz. Are you hearing Donovan Mitchell's name intertwined with a lot of different programs?
Nothing overly serious from what I've heard talking to people. There's everybody around the league kind of has their eye on, all right, is Danny Ainge going to break that duo up? Is he going to start kind of the teardown process in Utah? We know he's not afraid to make big moves from his time in Boston. If he thinks the best thing to do is sell off and, you know, start rebuilding, then he will. But I haven't heard anything, definitive. What is interesting, though, is anytime any player of note is on the trade market, you're going to hear the Heat involved because they tend to be connected to just about everybody who becomes available or even is assumed to be available.
How do you think first off, there's multiple layers of the Jazz right now. Obviously, you have Quinn Snyder. Is he going to come back for another year with this Jazz team? What are they going to do with Rudy? What are you going to do with Donovan? If you could hop in the DeLorean and go into, November, of those three, how many do you think are on a Jazz sideline this year?
I kind of have a feeling we're going to see a new coach. I think part of that comes down to the old adage of you can't fire all the players, so you fire the coach. And whether that'll be a firing or an amicable parting or whatever phrasing they want to use for a change at the coach position. But that just seems to be the path that I think may happen here of, hey, we've kind of had some really great regular seasons with similar-ish results in the playoffs, falling short of where we want to go. And what I start to wonder a little is it, let's get one more run at this with Mitchell and Gobert with a new voice on the sideline and see if that can make it work. Because then if it doesn't, then maybe we have bigger conversations about the roster construction.
Well, I think that the Quinn Snyder story is interesting, too, because he has to be looking at Greg Popovich and knowing what that San Antonio organization is all about and thinking to himself, well, maybe that's an eventual point of interest for him. How much longer do you think Greg Popovich is going to be on the sideline for the Spurs?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really don't know. And no one I've talked to has a very good sense of it either. You talk to people and it's like, I thought it was going to be a year ago, 2 years ago. And then there's other folks who say, I don't know that he's going to be done anytime soon. So I'm really not sure. One thing that I do always kind of wonder with the coaches that they've been doing this, seemingly forever. It feels like once they go away, do they lose that thing that kind of kept them going, all those years and kind of kept them pushing forward, or is it one of those things I think we've all collectively forgotten because he's been the coach for so long? Pop came out of the front office. Does he just transition back to, all right, I'm going to do this instead, and we'll have a new coach leading the team from the sideline?
Let's just say Quinn Snyder hits the open market, whether he sits out a year or whether he wants to get back in, whether he wants to be with a new team this year. What is the overall respect of Quinn Snyder around the league? How quickly would he be on the unemployment line?
Yeah, not very long, especially if you had a couple of the higher profile jobs open like the Lakers. I get the sense that the Lakers are slow playing this to see, all right, does Quinn Snyder become available? Does maybe Doc Rivers become available? And is that the direction we want to go? And I think there's a sense of those are our veteran, respected coaches who have done a lot with their teams that they've had over the years. And, they can come in here and kind of get this thing righted, get us back on the right track, get us moving forward in the direction we want to go. So it wouldn't be very long at all unless he decided, hey, I'll take a year off. I'll do some TV. I'll kind of do that, popping around the league circuit, and then I'll move forward from there. But if he wants to coach next year and he's not going to be with the Jazz, he'll have a job without much worry.
Keith, how valuable do you see Rudy Gobert being?
I think he's really valuable. I think he gets overstated, way too much, the sense of, well, he can't be on the floor in the playoffs. I think that's absolute nonsense. It's, that seems to go all the way back to a couple of games against the Golden State Warriors at the peak of their powers where, there was probably about maybe 20 guys who could be on the floor defensively against that team at that period. So I do think there is questions about how valuable is he offensively. Could you get more out of him with a better pick-and-roll point guard as far as a passer goes? Could you run some stuff that's designed, hey, we're going to get him the ball and get him touches inside? I mean, we see him give Team USA all sorts of problems in the Olympics and on the international level. But then anybody who questions the defense, I would, start to wonder how much they really watch, because he's obviously, the premier defensive big man in the entire NBA, and that has massive, massive value, even if there are some questions about the other parts of his game.
So a lot of the work you do at Sports Wrap and really diving deep into contracts and looking at overall salary cap and luxury tax, from Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck's perspective, everybody here in Utah says, okay, you can't run it back. This isn't working. You gotta find a way to change it up. But realistically, when you look at the situation the Jazz are in, can they really do anything substantial without moving Rudy or Donovan?
It's going to be hard because the challenge is there are players who carry the bigger salary numbers that aren't those two. There's some real questions about what you could even get for them in trades at this point. And for example, a guy like Mike Conley, he's had a wonderful career, but this last season was not great for him. And at his age, the question will be is, all right, was it a one-year outlier or is the slippage has it started? And for a lot of the smaller guards, once you start down that path, it doesn't come back. So that's one question that's got to be answered if there's going to be any kind of trade there. And then after that, you're talking about Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, maybe Rudy Gay, Jordan Clarkson. But those guys are all guys that teams are going to have questions about as well. And you don't really want to get too into the game of trading first-round picks and things like that, because then if you, a year from now, we do have to move Mitchell and Gobert, then you're kind of outpicked and you're not in a great spot. So it really is going to be a bit of a challenging reset for the Jazz. But I have faith Danny Ainge will find something workable that he can figure out.
Do you have an idea or a good understanding of where the Jazz are as far as luxury tax pay And are they on a following year of a repeater? Are they that close to the repeater tax?
Yeah, so they're going to be, they're well over the tax for this season that just completed. They'll be in the tax next year, barring some kind of major move that I just don't necessarily see coming that's a real money-saving move. Then the repeater, what gets interesting with the repeater tax is how it works is you have to be in the repeater three out of four seasons or three seasons consecutively, but it doesn't kick in until the next season after that. So there's still time to work around that if that is a problem. But the sense most people seem to have is with Ryan Smith and the new ownership is, hey, we'll pay the tax if we think we're going to be good enough. Let's not make that a barrier to what kind of team we want to be.
All right, so I know you've been around Danny Ainge. You've covered the Celtics. You know what I don't know what to expect from him. But we know that anything is possible in regards to how aggressive he can be. With that in mind, could you see some fireworks happening here in Utah in the offseason?
Yeah, I absolutely could. Is he sitting down and running his evaluations, and he'll trust his people and his team that he has there. But if the decision is, you know what, we've gone as far as we can go with the Mitchell and Gobert pairing, it would not be a surprise at all if one of the two of them is the one he trades. Or if even he says, you know what, we're going to start over as much as we can and trade both of them, and we'll amass a whole bunch of draft picks and young players and all that, and we'll go forward from there. I always try to remind people, and it maybe shows my age a little bit, but this was the guy who the Celtics team that I grew up on in the Boston area, he was the one who went to Red Auerbach and said, you know, you should probably trade Bird and McHale now while they still have value, which is absolutely blasphemous, thinking of it from a historical perspective, but that's the way he thinks. It's all about what's next to get us closer to a title. There's no sentimentality involved.
It's been interesting going through this season with him and seeing how quiet he's been and how kind of he just sat back and observed. Do you think, is that kind of what you saw from him in beginning stages? How vocal was he in Boston? Because he didn't even really have comments in a locker room cleanout situation here.
Yeah, this was very different. He was always very available and open with the media. Any sort of big transaction, he would take time to talk through and share his thoughts and where the team was headed on that. Always did his preseason availability, always was there for his end of season. So it was a little surprising, but my guess is that's trying to be respectful of Justin Zanuck and the role he holds in the organization, and the fact that it is a little awkward that he kind of was running things and then Ainge came in on top, and that makes things a little weird there. So my guess is there's just a respect level there of, hey, I'm not going to push this guy out the door or anything like that. I'm going to try to make sure we're being good partners here.
I know there's only 30 NBA coaching jobs, and so obviously everybody's going to want one of them, but realistically, knowing that your job status is always on the whim based on what LeBron thinks, how appealing is the Lakers head coaching job?
Yeah, I like the qualifier you use, because that's the same one I always use too. There's only 30, so they're not going to have too big of a problem. I think there is a sense of, too, it's the Lakers. Even when it's bad, it's rarely that bad for very long. They have the ability more so than most to reset and kind of charge and get things moving. So I think that is something that has to be factored in as well. But yeah, if you're going to take that job, you need to be sitting down with Rob Pelinka and having a very real conversation with him and Jeannie Buss of, all right, if LeBron leaves, I don't want that to be put on me and attached to me if he goes elsewhere. We need to make sure we're all on the same page for the Lakers, not just the LeBron Lakers, because that's really important as they start to build that thing back up.
So as we start to really boil it down to the best in the league this year, give me your predictions for a championship series and then the champion.
All along, I had said Phoenix and Milwaukee would be the two again. I thought they were both going to get back there, and I thought Phoenix was going to trip them up this time around. Watching Boston do what they have done against Milwaukee defensively and knowing that it looks pretty unlikely that we're going to see Chris Middleton in this series, I do think the Celtics have a pretty good chance of getting past them. And I think whoever wins that series is going to be Miami or Philadelphia. I just think they'll have been through the ringer and seen it, and they're not going to, it's not going to get any tougher for them in the next round. So give me whoever wins that series to come out. I do think now with Middleton out that that will be Boston. Then on the other side, I'm going to stick with Phoenix, but I'm not quite as confident in it as I was because I know they've won in a blowout last night. They've been a little shaky though, and the Warriors look pretty good. So I think that's going to be a really good series in the West. I think it'll be Phoenix, Golden State. I think that, has a chance to be, a seven game, all timer.
Does Brooklyn sign Kyrie Irving in the offseason?
Yeah, they're going to, because it just doesn't make sense to do anything else. They wouldn't be able to replace him. There's no way to kind of flip it and do anything else. You traded James Harden in part because he wasn't getting along with Kyrie and didn't want to be there anymore. So they're going to re-sign him, get Ben Simmons on the floor, and hope that this all comes together the way they envisioned.
Well, hey, we appreciate your time. Great insight, as always, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Breaking down the NBA right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Keith Smith contributes to Sports Rack, Celtics Blog, Front Office Show. He's out there, does a tremendous job.
What'd you think of his championship prediction?
When you were gone, I said it kind of felt like, and Phoenix jumped out of that 2-0 lead. I'm like, Phoenix is going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm. You think Phoenix? I feel like Phoenix is. I think they're going to have a fight on their hands with Golden State.
I do,
because Golden State's about to end this thing with Memphis tonight.
Actually, you know what?
They're going to have a little rest.
I think it's going to be Golden State actually
with the championship.
Yeah, I think Phoenix had their chance to eliminate Dallas, and they didn't do it. They fooled around, and now Dallas is going to push it to six, obviously six, maybe seven. You're right. Golden State's going to mercy kill Memphis, especially with Ja Morant being done for the remaining playoffs, which may be just one more game. So, Memphis is done, and so now Golden State just gets to sit back and relax. You got Poole that's playing out of his mind. They're working well with Steph. Draymond Green's doing what Draymond Green normally does. I mean, it's just they're back to causing problems for everybody else.
If Milwaukee had Middleton, if Middleton got back, I think Milwaukee could give them maybe some fits. I like Boston because their energy, they might have the hustle to beat Golden State in a seven-game series. I mean, Boston's got their work cut out for them right now anyways.
Yeah.
But I've got Golden State.
Yeah. Man, I was – and I know it feels weird, but I actually have been kind of emotionally pulling for Golden State – or, I mean, for Phoenix. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think they're going to struggle to get by that. But that Golden State-Phoenix Western Conference final series is going to be a good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a really good series. But just – there's a lot of experience. And I know Chris Paul had the experience. I know they had the run to the finals last year. I understand that. But I just feel like Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Looney off the bench, this Golden State team has a lot of awareness and a lot of understanding. They play defense extremely hard when they want to. They've got some youth. You throw Poole out there, and he gives you a completely different dimension. I got Golden State.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hans and Scotty, live here at Homey. Katie's hanging out with us one more time. We need to save you money. Look, whether you're buying a home, whether you're selling a home, whether you want to refinance a home, whatever you need to have happen, Katie is here to help you out. And here's the other thing, too. Like, there's so many great, you guys analyze a problem and say, okay, what can we do to fix this problem? There's a lot of Californians coming in here and throwing out cash offers, and people can't compete with that. Well, you're like, okay, well, let's find a way to compete with that, and you guys come up with a great program.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that drew me to Homey in the first place. Hearing Johnny on your guys' show, one of the things that really made me like fall in love with the Homey company and the Homey brokerage is by them just saying, hey, we're going to find these problems and we're going to find solutions for them. And so we've seen that time and time again of, you know, we brought in a Homey loans and we brought in Homey title and we brought in Homey insurance. We made it a smooth, streamlined process, having all of those business lines under one roof. And then we said, hey, there's all these buyers that are getting just beat out with Homey cash. What can we, or with cash, what can we do in order to make our buyers have a competitive offer and not get beat out? And so we said, okay, let's make Homey cash and let's turn their traditional offer into a cash offer. And now we're seeing like, hey, these sellers, they want to find a new place to go, but they're scared. Where are they going to go next? So we were able to find a different solution for them and come up with buy before you sell and giving those sellers that are, it's time for them to move. Their home has lived its life for their family. It's no longer meeting their needs. And we're trying to help give them the confidence and the feeling that they're going to be able to know where they're going to move next and knowing that, hey, like I can use Homey cash. I can get in my new home in as little as 10 days and I can sell my home without having to deal with all of that hassle.
You know, it's fun. I love representing Homey because I've used the product in every way except on the buy end. So on the financing end, on the sell end, and I've worked with some great people. I love the people inside the Homey brand, the Homey name. And what I can tell people is you truly save thousands of dollars. Just coming from somebody who's experienced it, who's worked with Homey, you save thousands of dollars. And one thing I really wanted to push home today for the remote, Katie, was that it truly is a flat rate of $3,000. When you use promo code TheZone to get the $500 off the sell price of $3,500. So you get everything for $3,000. This isn't like, oh, you want the signage? That's an extra this. You want the lockbox? We can help you manage walkthroughs, but that's extra. That's not how it is. This isn't a la carte. This is all inclusive, and you're assigned the realtor. You are helped along the entire way from assigning the price to the home to the paperwork of the home. And Katie, I want people to understand, this is all inclusive for $3,000 when you sell through Homey.
Exactly. You're not doing this by yourself. It's not a do-it-yourself brokerage. You have incredible agents who are going to help guide you through the process. You have that professional photography. You have that yard sign. You have the showing time where you get to say yes or no, I'm going to be able to be there for these showings. You have the negotiation help. You have everything
you have
you
a direct
need.
Phone number
yeah.
that you can dial and say, oh, hi, Kevin, I this is what I'm looking at. And they answer. Like you said, this isn't where you're sitting online and you're having to type a question into a little text box. You've got a number, you've got a realtor, you've got great communication. It's a no-brainer for anybody out there. Buying, selling, refinancing, whatever you're doing, it's a no-brainer. And look, it's coming from experience. I've used the product. I know. I trust them.
Yeah, and you know, we're just trying to make sure that people know, like, hey, the industry has changed because of technology. The way that you're paying your agent should change too. And so we're just trying to make it a simple, better process and just make homeownership more affordable for everyone.
Go to homey.com for more information right now. That's homey.com, HOMIE.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
I give Jason Kidd a lot of credit. And if the Jazz are ever looking for a new head coach, you know, these sort of lessons I think are important. But listen, it's not Jason Kidd's fault that Brooklyn hired him right out of the league. That's not his fault. What is he going to do? Say no?
Right.
You know? Think that they could step in and do a better job than you and me doing this. And maybe that's true. But you know what? There's a lot of learning that goes into this job. There's a lot of... I've been thrown in this area. I've been thrown into jobs I was completely unprepared for that had a steep learning curve
yeah.
because it's hard and you've got to learn and you've got to build and do the building blocks. And coaching is no different because, to your point, that playing and coaching and general managing, for that matter, are completely different jobs with completely different skill sets that happen to be in the business of basketball.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon. On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. As Lloyd pointed out, 139. By the way, all brought to you by Zero Res. They don't use soaps and harsh chemicals to clean those carpets like most carpet cleaners do. Schedule your carpet right now for only $33 per room. Some restrictions and minimums apply, so search Zero Res online for details.
Well, let's start out with the good, Scotty. Mike Tyson will not be charged in connection with the incident that happened on an airplane last month.
Good.
San Mateo County, California District Attorney announced on Tuesday, just yesterday morning, they said, "We have received and reviewed the police reports of the San Francisco Police Department and San Mateo County Sheriff's Office, and we have viewed the various videos collected by law enforcement from others on the airplane. Our decision is that we will not file any charges against Mr. Tyson based on the circumstances surrounding the confrontation." Essentially, they saw this guy egging on Mike Tyson, continually throwing bottles and in his ear, and his buddy that was filming it all, and knowing that this guy is an antagonist with a criminal record, they said, you know what? They're not filing charges. That doesn't mean that this guy can't still go try to sue.
Oh yeah,
Mike Tyson.
He'll go civil and he'll try to get money out of him for sure.
But at least there's not, and it's not like I'm a Mike Tyson defender. The guy spent a couple years in prison for assaulting a woman. Like, I'm not a Mike Tyson apologist. It's just in this particular case where Mike is flying high as a kite 99% of the time anyways right now. Like, he's not...
You mean like he's on an airplane, right?
No, like he's... That dude is on a trip, not a vacation
trip. Like, you mean
trip,
a trip that you go on and you pack some bags.
Yeah.
I'm talking like eating gummies that are shaped like Evander Holyfield's ear and packed full of weed type trip. That's
you're talking about marijuana.
I'm talking Mike Tyson is constantly marijuana'd. And
marijuana'd.
And, you know, being marijuana'd, from what I understand, it makes you just kind of want to eat peanut butter and not be in confrontation. Maybe I'm wrong.
Lloyd? Sorry.
Huh.
I thought we agreed we were.
That's my bad, Lloyd. I'm sorry.
You're going to get him tested again.
Just stop. I got nothing to hide. Come test me.
Come on, Nate. You can test me.
Hey, don't call their bluff. Don't call their bluff because they'll do it. Just let this one run.
Stop.
Oh, man.
Lloyd's like Clint Eastwood in the movie where he escapes from Alcatraz. You know, they escape from Alcatraz. And they're going through the metal detector, and the guy's like, "I'm going to have to search one of those boxes." And remember, he had the fan
in
the
box, right.
And he goes, "Check mine," knowing that he had the stuff. And the guy was like, "No, I won't check yours. I'll check the guy behind you." He didn't call his bluff that time. But, Lloyd, you don't want to push it, man.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm okay.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Hall of Famer Bob Lanier passing away yesterday, 73 years old. Detroit Piston legend, made 8 All-Star teams in 14 seasons. Passed away due to a short illness, the NBA announced. He was surrounded by family when he passed. Lanier, who gained notoriety for his size 22 shoes.
That's a big shoe.
Even Joe can't come up with shoes that big.
That's a really big shoe.
Yeah. taken by the Pistons with the number one overall pick back in 1970. Averaged 22 points a game and 11 rebounds per game. Went on to start for the Bucks as well. Coached the Golden State Warriors for a moment. Was also serving as a special assistant to David Stern and then Adam Silver as well.
Mm-hmm. He was all everything with the NBA.
Yeah, he was.
And
great ambassador.
You've seen just the outpouring of respect and love and that individuals had for him. Obviously, I didn't get to see him play. Obviously, he wasn't the big NBA name that I knew a lot about, but I've learned a lot about him since his passing. And he sure has done a lot for the game.
All right, there's your bad. Now time for the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
This is an interesting situation. So this was the kicker. His name is Josh Lambeau. He was the kicker for Jacksonville, Scotty, while Urban Meyer was coaching there. And for those of you that don't know or don't remember, this is the guy that claimed that Urban Meyer walked by him while he was in the stretching line and kicked him in the leg and said, "Hey, dip, beep, make your beeping kicks." Lambeau claimed he told the coach to never touch him again, and Urban Meyer responded by saying, "I will kick you whenever the beep I want." In the lawsuit, according to the Times, Lambeau and his legal team said Meyer's actions were illegal under both Florida criminal and civil law. He's reportedly went on to allege in the suit that Meyer's actions affected his sleep patterns, his practice ability, and his kicking performances during games, Scotty, which then led to him being cut. Therefore, he is suing for $3.5 million in salary that was owed to him in 2021, as well as other damages.
I think there's a good chance he's going to get it, too.
You think so?
I think I may not all of it, but he's going to get something. I mean, it just seems a little overly litigious.
Oh, man. If he gets money for it, I'm going back and suing every coach that kicked me and told me to beep the beep up.
I know, but unfortunately, this is 2021 and not 1999. You know what I mean?
I know, but some of these things have to be retro. Like, I have to be able to go sue. Be like, I was abused. Kicked, my face mask was grabbed. He was mean, said terrible things to me, made me practice, made me do bear crawls after.
Oh, bear crawls are the worst.
I'm not a fan of Urban Meyer, and I defend Urban Meyer as much as I defend Mike Tyson, but this kicker needs to shut up and go away.
Plus, he's a kicker, too.
He's a kicker. Shut up and go away.
Yeah.
Do I think that he should have been kicked? Probably not. Do I think that Urban Meyer has the right to say, "Hey, beep, beep, make sure you make your beeping kicks"? Yeah, he could say that as a coach.
Yeah.
Everybody's got pressure put on him. He's like, with this added pressure. It's the NFL. You miss a kick. It's better that your coach add pressure than whatever, 850,000 fans of a single team.
Yeah.
That all come pouring down on you on social media because you actually did miss the kick because you were threatened by the pressure in that moment. I don't know. I just...
No, I'm with you. I think it's dumb, honestly.
Yeah, but he might get it.
No.
If
that's why I said
proof that he got kicked.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, what's a kick? Like, is he drop kicking him in the ribs, or is he coming up and just kind of, like... Nudging him with the foot.
Because that's how I see it, him walking by and just kind of kicking him in the quad and saying, "Hey,
let's make our kicks today.
Beepity beep. Make your beeping kicks."
Yeah.
And it's a coach's job to put pressure on these kickers. And as a fan, you want that.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the first amount of pressure to come when they're in the middle of a game, and the game's on the line, and it's a 38-yard chip shot that's just off to the right hash, and the crowd's going nuts, and then they're like, "Oh, the pressure. I can't do with it. People aren't snowboarding because they feel pressure. I don't want to." "I want to do my routine." Then they don't kick.
Oh, you're going to get an email.
They quit right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore.
You want the pressure on in practice.
They tried.
So when the pressure of millions of people watching, you don't shape the stupid thing.
These dudes go out of their way And again, it's Urban. Urban's a jerk. Like, there's a better way to simulate pressure in practice than kicking a dude, for sure.
Yeah, you can't kick him.
But what you need to do is really like, okay, guess what, Lambo? You missed this 50-yard field goal, and you're going to stand right here while everybody else runs bear crawls. And you get to stand and watch them do it.
Yeah.
And they're looking at you and then while they're running bear claws.
You get to deal with that outcome in the locker room.
Yeah, and then all of us are leaving the locker room and walking away.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes for you.
So that's pressure.
I will tell you, though, like, let's say we're all having a meeting, me, you, and Lloyd, and Nate Dowdle walks in and kicks me square in the quad.
What?
In the square in the quad. The quad. And says to me, hey,
what?
Beepity beep.
Hit him where?
It's in the quad.
Yeah,
that's okay. An HR violation right there for sure.
You can't hit him there.
Ah!
Oh, I'm so glad that wasn't me.
Oh, my gosh.
Lloyd, I said quad.
Lloyd, you're going to have so much fun beeping that out.
No, you didn't.
I didn't even say it.
Yeah, you did.
No, I said quad.
You hit him right in the...
Sometimes there's a job.
I said it's not me. I'm so happy.
Oh, my.
Oh, this made my day.
Oh, I so hope Nate wasn't listening to that.
Nate, after hearing that, Nate's going to come here and kick you right there.
In the quad.
He's going to kick you in the quad.
Oh, my gosh.
Why did you dump that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
I said quad.
No. Oh,
my goodness.
No.
Guys, grow up.
All right. Anyway, Nate comes in and kicks you in the
in the quad and says, hey, beepity beep, you better start doing this on air. And then, you know, I'd be like, hey, you probably shouldn't have kicked me. But I would respond. I'd just make sure I'm not doing it on air. Wasn't there a story of somebody getting kicked or something?
I can't tell that on air.
Oh, but yes,
no, I can't.
Oh, you got to tell it.
No, I can't tell that story on air. But yes, there is a story of somebody getting kicked, yes.
Somebody did get kicked.
He didn't know. They didn't get kicked. Their chair was kicked.
But they didn't actually get kicked.
I don't think so. I was there for it. I did not. It was not me kicking.
How hard was the chair kicked? Did it fall over? Slide across.
Okay.
The
Stop.
Depends on whose version.
Oh, man.
All right.
This segment did not go the way I wanted it to.
I felt like a real kick to the
quad.
Hands of Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. There you go. Good, the bad, the ugly. Whole world news next.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
When you draw that hard line in the sand, that's nuclear. You don't go back from that.
And just the rumor is enough to cause a lot of division, and especially because Rudy's response on Twitter ended up being, well, every day has its own rumor. And you go, well, why don't you just go ahead and say, I never said this to anybody, if you didn't, right? Or I am not presenting the Jazz an ultimatum. I would love for Donovan Mitchell to be with this team going forward. I don't know if it's going to end up that way, but I would love for us to be together and to win a championship together. That hasn't been said.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Let's say we're all having a meeting, me, you, and Lloyd. And Nate Dowdle walks in and kicks me square in the quad.
What?
In the square in the quad.
In our hands, you've got you and me, brother. In our hands, we've got the whole world in our hands.
Jeez, man.
No, that sounds way
worse. Oh, I'm so sick to my stomach.
I don't know how we still have a job after that last segment. Honestly.
Well, I don't know if replaying it is the best idea.
It's never stopped you two before.
Well, yeah, because
Scotty, you know what? Scotty has a point here.
You actually said it.
I never. Nope.
I
here. Well, never mind.
No, because let's say we're all having a meeting, me, you, and Lloyd, and Nate Dowdle walks in and kicks me square in the quad.
What?
I meant quad.
Sure, and I meant Fox Hollow, too, but yeah. It didn't stop you guys from playing that 800 times.
This is the worst. This needs to go away. I'm gonna have this. I'm gonna make this. Somehow, this is gonna go away. I'm gonna find some leverage. This is gonna go away. Yours went away.
No, it didn't. It gets brought up all the time.
We never bring that up.
Oh, yours have been forgotten, Scotty.
I am dizzy now. Gosh,
well, I'm sure you are.
When you get kicked there,
16 years on air. You know, 4 hours a day for a lot of it. 3 hours a day. I meant quad. I didn't even say the full thing. Anyways.
All right.
Let's get into this. Whole world news. Scotty, I want to get your thoughts on this. So a man in Brazil on May 7th decided to take his 39-week pregnant wife to Metallica. All right? She's 39 weeks pregnant. How many weeks are you supposed to be
40.
Pregnant? Is it 40?
Yeah.
So she's right at the end.
Yeah.
And Metallica comes out. And they open up with Master of Puppets, which is, you know, one of their all-time greats. And the rock and roll just starts. And I haven't been to a full Metallica concert, but I did get to go into kind of an early part of a Metallica concert and stayed for... It's rowdy.
Yeah.
But this song, crank it up a little bit, Lloyd. This song is rocking. So here she is, 39 months pregnant. You know, you get those two fingers up pointing, you start doing the head banging, you're rocking and rolling, and she starts to feel like the baby's moving a little bit. She's like, oh, crap.
Whoa. Baby's enjoying the music.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the beginning of the concert. Metallica is incredible. This guy bought his tickets. Well, song number two comes, and she's starting to really feel nauseous and feel like the body's changing.
Oh, no.
The water breaks in the middle of the concert. And this woman is still enjoying the Metallica. They get all the way to the end of the concert, and Enter Sandman comes on.
Yeah.
As Enter Sandman starts, the baby's head breaches.
No,
yes,
stop it.
It does. The lady lays down.
Oh.
And by the way, this is all documented on Instagram.
Oh, I don't want to see any of this.
Enter Sandman is rocking on the stage. This woman lays down on her back. The head breaches. I think that's the right word. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that's. It crowns.
Okay. No more of this, okay?
And let's say we're all having a meeting, me, you, and Lloyd, and Nate Dowdle walks in and kicks me square in the
So let's just say baby's knocking at the door.
How did you say it once? Something about a Saint Bernard.
Stop. Saint Bernard no. coming through the doggy door.
Oh, no.
So she's laying back and the guy's like rocking still to Enter Sandman. The baby's coming, but they do have the medical professionals. They were going to try to transport her and get her in the car. Baby was too far on its way. They delivered the baby right there on the concert floor. While Enter Sandman was rocking, the baby's healthy, mom's healthy, dad is now spending money on diapers instead of concerts, and everybody is happy. Metallica did retweet and resubmit all of the... Because she obviously let Metallica know, like, hey...
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I didn't leave the concert, man. We rocked it out. I popped the baby out on the floor. We are still rocking
man,
it out.
That just doesn't seem like a really
is there any
healthy,
concert
sanitary way of
okay?
I like.
No,
like,
hold on.
I like how we do these sports radio bits. If you were to give birth at a concert, no. Which one would it be?
Let's say you and Jenny. Jenny's 39 weeks.
Yeah,
and you and Jenny are at the Eagles with their full complement.
We're out. No, I'm not. No.
Is there? There's no concert.
No. Plus, at 39 weeks, you shouldn't be going to a concert. Right, Katie? Come on, 39. That's,
turn Katie's mic on. Especially Metallica.
You're knocking on the door there. Come on.
Katie, is there any concert you'd be at that you're like, you know, this feels like the baby might be coming, but...
No, I mean, I've never made it to 39 weeks. All my babies came early, say that I'd ever... But, like, at 30 weeks, you're just freaking miserable. Like, I wouldn't want to... No, and no, but
so,
I...
So, Scotty, this song's playing. And Jenny's like, God, I think the baby's coming.
We're out.
You're leaving?
No, yeah. No. Now, if it was Take It Easy, I'd be a little different. Like, hey, can you cross your legs for the next 3.5 minutes? Like,
you're staying, Scotty. Knock it off. You're staying.
I knew I shouldn't even have bought you tickets. You're so needy. Fine. Get your purse.
It's all
Let's
about
go.
You. It's all about you, isn't it? Really?
Oh, boy.
No, you're right. Nobody's taking their 39-week pregnant wife to the Metallica concert. You're asking for problems.
Did they name the baby something good?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a name of the baby. They didn't put the baby name in the story. Dang it! They did. Luan.
Luan.
Baby boy Luan. Born at 11:15 p.m. while the sounds of Enter Sandman raged on.
Is it like Luan for Lars?
It might be. I don't know. But obviously, this was all in Brazil. Metallica was playing this concert in Brazil. This was just May 7th. This was just, what was that, Thursday?
I mean, I'm just going to say it. Like, when somebody spills a drink behind you at a baseball game or at a whatever sporting event you're at, like, you're grossed out. Like, everybody gets up and they're all moving around.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I'm just saying, like, is a lot more than a soda spilling.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a beer spilling. Like,
It's a sign that everybody is probably making bad decisions being at the
concert. Like, I'm not sure that even if I was next to the lady that I would stay, let alone if I was the lady.
Oh, that's so good. Obviously.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's... Yeah. The more you think about it, it's just like, no, that's awful.
Right there on the concert floor, man.
No.
The whole birthing, right there. It's an incredible story. And it would be one that you would tell your kid and be like, hey, you hear that song? And maybe the
like,
kid...
Can I borrow your guitar pick so I can cut the cord? Like,
what... Oh, don't. Scotty, why'd you go there? I'm going to yell at you, not even Lloyd.
I'm just like, what are we doing here?
Oh, my gosh.
He's just trying to make a point. It's all gone too far.
These last two segments may have... brought the show to an end.
And yet again, though, here I am.
Yeah, here's Katie right in the middle.
All right, so if you're looking for a new home for your Metallica baby, Homie can help find that home for you.
Yep.
All right, so inventory, you mentioned things are starting to calm down a little bit, but still inventory's tight. And when you see a home that you love, you want to jump in on it like right now. You have to.
Yeah, for sure. And like, if you are trying to be a buyer in this market, like, the gates are starting to open up for you, right? You're starting to see the light that life isn't as hard as it used to be. So we're starting to see homes stay on the market a little bit longer. There is still competition out there. We are still seeing multiple offers. We are still seeing cash offers, but it's not as bad as it used to be. I think last year at this time, we were talking about how there was like, 79 offers and on one house.
Wow.
That's a lot better now. And we also have the tools to make sure if there is 79 offers in on that house, we can make sure that your offer is competitive.
I do want to mention, because we haven't mentioned a lot of it, we do know that interest rates have climbed up, but we also know that Homie is offering you the most competitive rates and is still willing to put the money where their mouth is by saying, we'll give you $500. You find a better rate, we'll give you $500. You're that confident that you have the best rates.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we're going to find you the best rate for you. We want to make sure that you are getting as much money or as much value out of your money as you can. We understand that interest rates have gone up, and it is so hard right now when you're looking back a year ago where they were to now. But let's talk about where they were, 10 years ago
now. As compared to where they are now.
And they're still not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to, my family, like they had 18, 17% interest rates. We're still at a single digit interest rate, which is really great. They're not where they used to be, but they're not too far bad yet. So, utilize this time where we're seeing more inventory come in on the market, where we've got Homie cash for you. We've got competitive interest rates. We've got, the ability to buy before you sell, and we're going to make sure to get you into that dream home and sell your home and keep that equity where it belongs.
Really, it's important. Go to homie.com. So many great opportunities, so many great options for you to save so much money. Again, homie.com right now. You're on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.